Good evening. If you would take out a Bible and turn over to Exodus chapter 4, that'll be where our study begins this evening. We'll take most of our time tonight in the book of Exodus as we consider the hardness of the heart. What do you think of when you hear the phrase, heart of stone? Maybe think of someone who's extremely cold, who is without feeling, who acts with cruelty. Those that have hearts of stone are often people who lack empathy, sympathy, kindness. Their hearts have become so hardened, so numb for one reason or the other, that they've become like stone. They become so hard to get through to. And no matter how hard you may try to get through the heart of stone, they usually are persistent in the hardness of their heart and without any chance of softening. The hardness of the heart is referred to a number of times in Scripture, and the hardness of the heart is used to refer to people who act like we just described. But also, at the same time, in addition to being cold, cruel, lacking sympathy, numb and unwavering in this, we also see that they are firm in disbelief and disobedience to God. And this is a terrible combination, to be both cruel without empathy and without faith, having rejected God. This can make for a heart of stone so hard that their whole lives are given over to darkness. And this hardness is hard to break. But we know from Scripture that the Lord, the same Lord they reject, He is powerful enough to break the heart of stone, whether that be for better or for worse. As we're in Exodus, we recognize we're at a time where there is a Pharaoh. And during this time of this Exodus, this Pharaoh is the epitome of a hardened heart. If there is one thing that we know about this Pharaoh above all else, because it's mentioned all throughout chapters 4 through 12, is that he has a heart harder than stone. The hardness of his heart, that meant a lot of pain for a lot of people. No matter what he or his people endured, his heart remained hard until the bitter end. But why? Why have a heart so hard that he was unwilling to admit that God was far superior? Why does it say that God hardened his heart? Let's look at the hardness of his heart and call his heart into question. We first see the idea of the hardness of Pharaoh's heart in Exodus chapter 4. If you're there, let's read together verse 21 through 23. Exodus chapter 4, verse 21 through 23. This is shortly after God first called Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. Moses goes to get his things in order and head off. And while there, God speaks to Moses again, saying, verse 21 beginning, the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart, so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn. This is the first instance that we see the idea of Pharaoh hardening his heart. And we learn a couple of things here. First of all, God says that he will harden Pharaoh's heart. Interesting phraseology here, because it leads us to believe that God forced Pharaoh's heart to be hard. He forced his heart into hardness. That's what people read out of this. But this is not necessarily true, and we will cover that point in just a few minutes. But for now, we see that God always knew that Pharaoh's heart would be hardened, despite the power and the signs that both Moses and God would perform before him. Secondly, we see that God foreshadows the death of the firstborn son. We recognize anyone that studied the 10 plagues knows what that last plague was. God struck the firstborn of the land of Egypt. It says, we'll read it later on, but the firstborn did die. God knew from the start that Pharaoh would harden his heart to the bitter end. That it wasn't going to be softened until these words were fulfilled, that his hardened heart were shattered. So knowing this, we may look at the phrase of God hardening Pharaoh's heart as being deliberate, as we talked just a moment ago, but then ask why? Why did God harden Pharaoh's heart only to break it later on? Why wouldn't God change Pharaoh's heart? Well, it wasn't a matter of God manipulating Pharaoh's heart. This was Pharaoh's choice to be hardened in the heart. And so the Lord did what he had to do. And we see that as time progresses. Skip over to chapter 7 of Exodus. Let's go to Exodus chapter 7, where we see Moses' encounter with Pharaoh, which also came with a warning once again that the Lord will harden Pharaoh's heart. This is shortly before the signs and the wonders that Moses would perform and the 10 plagues that God would send. We see verse 3 beginning. Exodus chapter 7. Let's read verses 3 through 5 here. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. The heart of Pharaoh is sure to be hardened. This was God's warning to Moses that even though they would come with power, even though God would send these signs, these wonders, these plagues upon Pharaoh and upon all of Egypt, God will harden Pharaoh's heart. This idea may be confused and misconstrued to think that God was forcefully hardening Pharaoh's heart only to torture him. Again, for reasons we'll see in a minute, that is not the case. Pharaoh chose to harden his heart, and so the plagues were sent as consequence of him hardening his heart. It says in the verse, Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt. God was not saying this because he wanted to torture Egypt or took pleasure in plaguing them, but that these are the consequences for Pharaoh continuing in the hardness of his heart. The purpose is seen in that God says, Egypt will know that he is the Lord. This is probably the most important bit of information in God's plan here, because he was going to reveal himself as the one true God through these plagues. This will be reaffirmed in a verse we'll read in just a minute. But first, we come in the midst of these plagues. Just before sending the seventh plague in Exodus chapter 9, God speaks to Moses again to send him to Pharaoh. In Exodus chapter 9, let's read verses 13 through 19. Exodus chapter 9, verses 13 through 19. The Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show you, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. As yet you exalt yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been seen in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock, all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. Once again, we learn a couple of things here. We're in the midst of these plagues, and he warns about this seventh plague. God says he's going to send his plagues to Pharaoh's very heart. This would be proof enough right here that God did not force Pharaoh's heart to be hardened. Because why go through all the effort of hardening a heart that he sought to break anyway? These plagues were meant to disturb and distress Pharaoh to the point that his heart of stone, the heart that he hardened of his own free will, of his own accord, would break. God also says that he raises Pharaoh up for the purpose of his name being declared in all the earth. You may try to find predestination in that. You may try to find something along those lines. But here's the fact of the matter. If God didn't want Pharaoh in power, that's all he needs to do. He could snap him out of existence. But God allowed Pharaoh to be great. God allowed Egypt to be a superpower on the earth. But because Egypt did not serve God, but instead believed in their own gods, God would use this opportunity to show the world through what he did to Egypt under the rule of a Pharaoh with a hardened heart that he was the one true God, that he is the one true God. God intended to show the whole world that he was the one true God, and Pharaoh continuously hardening his heart, even at the detriment of his own people. Here we are, we're seven plagues in. This created the perfect scenario to do this. Which brings us to probably the most important, one of the most important bits of information in the whole story. Shortly before the 10th and final plague against Egypt, as God established the Passover feast with Moses, he says to him in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12, warning about what was going to happen. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. This is arguably the most important part of the entirety of all that he had brought upon Egypt. As we stated just a minute ago, Egypt did not believe in God. In fact, they had their own system of belief. They had their own gods. They had several gods. Gods of nature, gods of war, gods of light and darkness, of life and death. They had their own mythology, their own creation story involving primordial pyramid, the tears of Ra, his descendants warring against each other. One of his descendants was named Horus. And Horus was believed to be the first pharaoh. And every pharaoh after him were both descendants of Horus and living embodiments of Horus. Aha. That's how it all comes together, brethren. Horus was the hero god in Egyptian mythology, and this pharaoh was not just king of Egypt, but he was seen as God among them. His heart was hard, not because God forced it to be hard, but because the very existence of God went against everything that the pharaoh knew and believed and thought of himself. Very idea of God was blasphemous to him. And God's plagues attacked all the things that these so-called gods governed and proved himself superior. So because of this fact, because Pharaoh believed himself to be Horus, to be descendant and embodiment of the hero God, his heart was hardened because of the existence and idea of Jehovah God. And so in order to get Pharaoh to release the Israelites, he had to break Pharaoh's hardened heart. And in Exodus chapter 12, verse 29 to 32, we see it happen. Exodus chapter 12, verse 29 to 32, we see the recording of the 10th and final plague, the one that broke Pharaoh, the one that truly allowed Pharaoh to set the Israelites free. Exodus chapter 12, verse 29, beginning, it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel. Go serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks, take your herds as you have said, and be gone. Bless me also." Pharaoh left God no other choice. Pharaoh hardened his heart of his own accord, based on his own idea of who he was, his hubris, his pride, his self-exaltation. And that led to his heart, that hardened heart, being shattered because he held his resolve to the bitter end. He hardened his heart to the degree that he made his nation suffer. He made his son suffer. He made himself suffer. All because he chose to harden his heart inside of God. The hardness of the heart is a deadly thing, brethren. Not just for the heart itself, but for the lives of all those who surround it. Pharaoh could have spared himself the heartache. He could have spared the nation from all the torment that befell them. He could have spared his firstborn and the firstborn of all the nation if he had not held on to the hardness of his heart. A hardened heart before God will not always end well. The wise writer recognized this. If you look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 14. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14. The wise writer recognized the hardness of the heart is deadly. He says, "Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall to calamity." The wise writer offers a contrast here, showing that there is either happiness in reverence or there is calamity in the hardness of the heart. Reverence towards God, that being respecting him, obeying him, recognizing that he is all-powerful, that he is the one that is in control. The wise writer says there is happiness in that. Recognizing that there is something greater than yourself, that everything we know here on the earth, that should be a source of comfort and not distress. Reverence comes from recognizing the greatness of God and recognizing the greatness of all the things that he has done for each and every one of us. This reverence towards him brings happiness, properly acknowledging God, properly obeying him, and properly loving him. That is what brings true happiness, because we know that he is worthy and that he is faithful and that he will reward us in the end. But with the hardness of the heart, with the cold cruelty, that lack of empathy, sympathy, and kindness, with the faithlessness, hatred, and self-important attitudes that come with the hardness of the heart, the wise writer promises calamity. If we think we know better than God does, if we think that our best lives are lived separate from God, and we choose not to love, respect, honor, or obey God as we should, we can only expect ruin, both here in this life and when eternity comes. Living as a Christian, many of us can recognize that it's not all sunshine and rainbows. But I'm sure many of us can agree that our lives are much better being lived for God rather than against God. Our lives have had much more purpose since we've chosen to follow God. More direction, more love, less loneliness, less pain, less guilt. Even the worst days of a life lived with God are far better than the best days of a life lived without him. With that in mind, let's see someone whose heart is the opposite of Pharaoh's. Turn over to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, we read of a woman named Lydia. Acts chapter 16, verse 14, we read, "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. As opposed to Pharaoh, whose heart was hardened because of the existence of God, Lydia's heart was open because of the existence of God. When denominations read this verse about Lydia's heart being opened by God, they make it sound like something beyond her control, like some supernatural occurrence overriding free will to believe or to disbelieve. But the fact of the matter is that unlike Pharaoh, she worshiped God, as the verse here established. She worshiped God. We may say that her response to the teachings of Paul is a passive effect of already having been a worshiper of God. She worshiped God. Therefore, she knew about God. She loved God and revered God. So when Paul and friends came along preaching the word of God, she was willing to listen, knowing that she was about to learn more about the God she worshiped, about the God she loved. She had a great desire for God, and so he, being revered by her, opened her heart. Her heart was open because she revered God. Her reverence and love toward God opened her heart, as opposed to Pharaoh, whose reverence toward self and disdain for God hardened his heart. We see that the Lord had an effect on both of their hearts. The heart that hated God, that revered self, that chose selfishness and pride over God, that was the heart that was hardened and became like stone until the bitter end. The heart that loved God, that revered him, and that chose obedience and worship over sin, over self-indulgence, that was the heart that was open to him. So which heart is yours? What does your heart look like? Is it one that is calloused, cold, cruel, and selfish, without care and without faith, hardened like stone? Or is it open to God, open to his will, ready and willing to serve, to give up more of self, to better serve God? We must choose what kind of heart we want to have. As we talked this morning, we're called to love with all of our heart. So let us examine ourselves. Let us make sure that our hearts are not becoming hardened because of life on earth, or because of faith wavering, because of the trials and tribulations. But let us seek to always have our hearts open to God, revering and loving him in our hearts always. You know, as we said earlier, life as a Christian is not always going to be sunshine and rainbows. It's not going to be easy down here. We've talked about that in previous studies. But the experiences we endure on earth, that should not harden our hearts. We should not let that harden us so that we lose our faith in God. And that should not harden us to the point that we become stagnant, or we become lukewarm, or we become inactive, or we become lost again. Don't let your heart be hardened. Let your heart be open to God always. Open your heart to him. Let him in. Let him see what is in your heart. Let him see your struggles. Give all that to God so that he can take away the bad from your heart. We who are here tonight are here because we revere God, because we have an interest in him, because we want to learn more about him, because we want to love him more. Let that be your resolve, brethren. Continue in your faith. Continue in your opened heart towards God. Let him be with you always. Don't harden your heart against him, but always be open to him. If you are here tonight and are not yet a Christian, we want to invite you to become one. If you are here tonight, having heard the word tonight or in the past, and have come to believe in God, have come to love God and want to learn more, love him more, worship him more, we want to encourage you to do that. If you're here tonight, we want you to repent of your sins. This is called in our scriptures to repent, to turn away from sin, to flee from it, to have a change of heart and a change of mind from sinfulness to godliness. And then confess the name of Jesus as the Son of God. And you can be baptized, washed free of your sins, raised to walk a new life with God. Or if you're here tonight and already are a Christian, we but have allowed sin in your life, or if you've allowed your heart to be hardened to God, don't let what happened to Pharaoh happen to you. Don't let the calamity fall upon you. Don't let your life be lost in the hardness of your heart. Open your heart to God once again. Repent of your sins. Turn away from those sins once again. Confess them before God in prayer, and He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And if you feel the need to confess before your brethren, we are here for you. We will meet you with love. We'll meet you with encouragement. We will pray with you, and we'll pray for you. Because we're all going through it. We're all enduring this life together, and we all want to stick together and lift each other up and encourage each other as we strive to be with Him when eternity comes. If you're subject to the invitation and need prayers of this congregation for help in some way, please come as we stand and we sing.